We're on page Resh Mem Zayin and Das Midrashecha. As you know, this perek at the end is really a Tosefes, and it's, as I mentioned last time, it's a perfect hakdama to the sugya that we're Be'ezah Hashem going to be entering into, which is his bodidus, to learn the iyun of ba'aymek, the sugya of his bodidus, and hopefully we'll be able to take some trips together. I'll know if we'll have we'll get together someplace between semi between here and Toronto. We'll try to get together somewhere, maybe, I don't know, but we'll work on it. The mice also, musician. What we're talking about now, we're learning about in Das Midrashecha, is that everything in this world, of course, by definition, is about gvul, is finite and limited. That's what this world is. It's a world that is finite and limited. So everything in the world is bound by that metzius. However, to the degree that one is able to attach himself to that which is infinite, a person is able to have access to infinity. That's what we're learning. There's mida, ve'enam na'mida, ve'enam mida. So we learned that when it comes, of course, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zayin Sof is without end. The Torah is also, in such a way, arucha me'eretz mida, or rechava mineyam, that the Torah is without boundaries, without borders. Kutshibrichu Yisrael v'arayis achad, Hashem, the Torah and the Jewish people are one. That means if we're to discover within ourselves something which is infinite, something which is not bound by the rules and regulations of Teva, of this world, it's only by way of bittul to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to his Torah. That's what we're learning. So we're on the top of page Resh Mem Zayin. Rav Schwartz left us at the bottom of Resh Mem Vav with this question of how is it possible that a human being who is by nature mugbal, constrained by time and space and so on, how could a human being be megala within himself a dimension that is ein lo gvul, that's bilti mugbal, that's without a gvul? How could that be? And we see, and we know, of many, many tzaddikim, of many great Jews over the years, who defied time and space. In this world, they lived in a way that was in defiance of the rules and regulations of time and space. So on the top of Resh Mem Zayin, but even for regular people like us, this is a very tremendous yisod. Nikvishin is b'ayar b'tayra k'doysha kaima meimad she'en lo gvul aruch meretz mida or chavar mineyam. So we see that the Torah has this quality that it's boundless, without boundaries and without any gvul. Now the Torah itself, Torah Shebech Tzav obviously does have a gvul. It has certain words and letters. And Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral Torah, even though over the years it grows, it expands, but stuff, it's also limited by the intellectual capacity of a human being to comprehend. So the Torah in of itself is something which has a gvul. The reason that the Torah is able to achieve the status of infinitude is because Hashem and the Torah are one. Meaning that Hashem's mind, kivyachol, that he invested in the Torah, is infinite. And therefore Torah, by virtue of its being godly, is infinite as well. It breaks past all of the borders of the finite world. Ichadim Habore. Because the Torah is one with the Creator. Kashem Shalabore Engvul Kivyachal. In the same way that the Creator Hashem is Engvul, is without any boundaries, borders, any constraints. Kach L'Torah Kadosha Engvul. So the Torah also Engvul. But if the Torah would be its own independent existence, then it would not be able to have this dimension that is infinite. It's only by virtue of its being one with Hashem. Now let's take a look at ourselves. What is a Jew? We're talking only about Jews. What is a Jew? Shanovel is Bain Benafsha saying, Im Adam Taifes is Asma Kimitsius Nefredes Chasra Sholem, Mimitsius Hashem's Bar. If a person thinks of himself as being an independent Mitsius, separated from Hashem, in other words, he's not living in a reality in his mind. He doesn't live in a reality of Bittul Tashem, that everything is Elokus, and that he's part of that infinite world of Elokus. If he sees himself as being an independent, separate Metzius, if he's missing this Midah of Bittul, we're going to be talking a lot about Bittul Mitzvah Shem, Nechsidah Shir, Friday morning Chassidah Shir in the coming weeks. If a person is missing this, then he's a nivra. Then harei shehu nivra. He's a very sophisticated nivra. He's an intelligent nivra. He's a nivra that can talk. He's different than a rock or an animal and so on, but he's a nivra. Gvuli, with many limitations. So Aristotle was a genius. He was a genius. The Rambam spoke of his brilliance in ways that we don't find him speaking of other people, the brilliance of Aristotle. Nevertheless, when Aristotle was Isaac and discussing things, and he was asked by his students, how could it be? He said that right now, I'm not Aristotle. At this moment, I'm not Aristotle. I'm giving a shiur. You need something? I'm sorry, that was President Trump. I'll get back to him later. So Aristotle said, right now I'm not Aristotle. Stop. Right now I'm a regular guy. So you could be the smartest person in the world, but sof kol sof, you're a bal gvul, you're limited by your desires, by your silliness, by your gvulim, by your borders. You're limited by whatever borders there are, whatever your borders are. Some people are small like New Jersey, and other people are big like Texas. Whatever it is, but there are borders. I don't mean to insult any New Jersey people out there. I know there are smaller states than New Jersey, but it's the smallest one that's connected to New York, I guess. So a person in that way is a Barmida. He has borders. He's constricted and limited. So he can be the smartest guy in the world, and the next minute he's acting mamish like a behemoth, like the lowest of behemoth. Because the same way that a chair and a table has a gvul, has a mida, whatever it is, it's 2 feet high in this, the width, and that. So that's what it is. Kach gam lenefesh yesh gvul mida. So too, the nefesh of a human being has a mida. It's limited. It has borders. And at best, a person is trying his whole life to fix his broken midas, to try to expand himself at least to reach what he feels are the borders of his capabilities. To reach that place where he could reach, And that's in such a way we would say, good, he was masakin these midas. He did the best he could in his life to get to where he could get. And you know, there were very, very great people who, when they were younger, were told that, we're sorry, Mrs. So-and-so, your son is very limited. And he's limited. And when a person sees himself as being an independent, separate human being, then he is limited. Just some people have more territory than others, but there are limitations. That's the nature of a human being. He's a bal midas. Hamebid she'ein lo gvul. Now, what about that dimension of a human being that's without a gvul? Like, how was the Yismach Moshe, Shchus Yelena, how was he able to be in two places at the same time? It was very famous by a number of tzaddikim, but especially by the Yismach Moshe, that he used to be in Poland and Hungary, Germany at the same time. And people would get letters that they just spoke to Yismach Moshe at this day, when he was here and he was in another place at the same time. Well, the Baal Shem HaKadosh, that he was able to go from this place to that place. He was able to go from Russia to Germany with Kvitz Seder. How is that? Well, what is that? That place, that time that's not limited, that doesn't follow the rules of the calendar and the clock? Only when there's a gilui in that person of v'shachanti b'soicha, when the Shechina is revealed in this person. Shechanti b'soichem. It's a nini v'tzadi. B'soich kol echad v'echad. B'soichem in each and every one. Kashe yeish gilui shel habari oilem b'soich nefesh ha'odam. When there's a gilui of the infinite in the nefesh ha'odam. And the person himself is mevatel, his own being, his own separate feeling of being separate, independent, and talented, and this and that, and he's mevatel all of that to the true infinite reality of Hashem. Who nasa kivyochel chad im bayrei. Then he's able to become one with the bayrei. And then that dimension of Ein Mida, that's without Mida, without border, without limitations, is revealed. Habilti Gvuli. Calls man sha'odam chashes atzma kimitzias la'atzmai. As long as a person feels himself and sees himself as an independent mitzias, a mitzias la'atzmai, Havaila Atzmai. Hari Shikashem Shte Liadayim Ulareglayim Ulareshesh Gvul. The same way that a person's hands and feet and head have certain measurements and limitations. Kach Gam the Kreches and Nefesh Yesh Gvul. As I said before, so the Kreches and Nefesh have also a Gvul. Again, there are people with bigger borders and smaller borders, but it is a Gvul. Adam Lo Yochol Lahanig Bli Gvul. A human being is not capable of giving and giving and giving without a gvul. And he can't have rachmanis bli gvul. Because a human being, is limited. And therefore, a human being is an independent, separate being, cannot be infinitely giving and compassionate, and so on. Except if you're a Democrat, maybe. Progressive liberal. Kama ha'gvul shokol echad ve'echad. Kama ha'gvul shokol echad ve'echad. How big is the gvul of each person? Dovez ha'mishtan, I mean, nefesh le'nefesh. Like I said, there are some Jews, that there are some people that there's like Texas, and this one's like Rhode Island, this one's like California. They're different gvulim. So just like by real estate, there's something, it's a chatzi dunam, a sheni dunam, could be an acre, could be a half acre, 2 acres, chaver machzik babalusa, esrim dunam, 20 dunam. Well, the usher, a rich person, machzik babalusa, shetach shabdina shlemi, he could own the real estate like the size of an entire state. Whatever property a person owns, there's a gvul. It has a certain gvul, has a limit. It could be bigger, it could be smaller, but it has a limit. Because any property that's on earth, of course, has a gvul. Who had din b'nefesh adam? She mitzad atzma he gvulis. And who had din mitzad the nefesh of a person, that a person is a human being, and because of that, he has midas and he has gevulim. Only when a person reveals the ein sof bekirbo, the infinite that's within him, megala as a boy oilam b'saycha, he's able to be megala. And he's Megala, the infinite one, the creator within him. Then a person is able to come into contact with a dimension that is infinite, that changes his entire life and everybody that has a connection to him. You see, for instance, that if you look in the Kisvei Arizal, you look in Eitz Chaim, you'll see that pretty much at the beginning, there are madrigas that the Arizal says exist, like for instance, Ak, Adam Kadmon. I'm just saying these words. And there's a mitzias that's called Adam Kadmon. But the Ariya Kaddish says that we don't talk about it, we're not allowed to talk about it, we can't talk about it, we can't possibly understand. You know, a human being can't understand. So many have asked, so then Rabbi, like, why mention it? Like, we can't talk about it and we can't understand it. So what's the point of bringing up the subject? If this is a reality that's beyond our minds, then we're not allowed or we can't talk about it. So then why mention it? This is a question that many have when they're learning, when they begin learning the Pnimiya Satara. And the answer to the question is that what the Arizal was saying is that anybody who is not Bothel to Hashem, anybody who is studying this as Kabbalah 001, to write a thesis and then to write a book on Jewish mysticism, it's not possible to understand. It's not possible to come to. You have no access at all to this Mitzvah that's called Ak, that's called Adam Kad. Now, the Arizal was talking about it and said, we can't talk about it because the Arizal knew about it. So how did the Arizal know about it? Now, who told him? How did the Arizal know about it? The Torah says, the Arizal is saying that as long as you are a limited person, you are bound by those limitations. And this inyan of Adam Kadmon means nothing to you. And by the way, it's not possible, what he said, it's not possible for a human being to connect to that world of Adam Kadmon, right? That's true. It's not possible for a human being. As long as you are restricted by those borders of a human life, a human mind, and a human heart, you can't have a connection to Ak. But if you are in the world of Bittul, then you can receive even access to Ak, to Adam Kadmon, to Madregas of Yechida and so on, you could receive access to those places as a gift by Hashem. as a gift that's given to you. You can't as a human being. You can't understand this as a human being. But if you bought with Hashem, it could be given to you as a gift, as being part of that reality that transcends the borders, the limitations, the midas of human life. If a person who has emunah in such a way that he's bottle, so he doesn't have answers to the questions of like, why did 6 million people die? Why did this happen? Why did that happen? He doesn't have answers, but he doesn't have to have answers. He's in a different reality. The professors have to have answers to those questions. He doesn't need it. He went through it and he doesn't ask the question because he's in a different metzias. He's in a metzias of emunah. He's in a place of bittul to Hashem. And Hashem gives him as a gift, a way to continue living, even though he went through that. Not only did he read about it, we saw pictures, he went to the Holocaust Museum. He lived through it. And keeps Shabbos and keeps mitzvahs. The professor never lived through it and doesn't keep Shabbos, doesn't put on tefillin to keep mitzvahs. The difference is that this is what professor is trying with his mind to understand the Holocaust. It's not possible. It comes from the Chalal Panui, from a place that human mind can't possibly comprehend. Whereas that Yid that gets up after the Holocaust and puts on tefillin and keeps Shabbos, he's connected to something which is without boundaries, without limits. So he's not writing any book about the Holocaust, but he lived through it, and he keeps Shabbos afterwards. What I'm telling you now is a very, very big yesod in being a Jew, what we're learning now today. It's a very big yesod, I'm telling you. What we're learning is a very big yesod. If you're not in that place, there's no answer in the world that's going to satisfy you. If you are in that place, it's not a kasha. It's not a kasha. It's not a kasha. That's why it's so futile to get into arguments of this type with people that are not in that place. It's just frustrating. That's why already many, many years ago, I already saw some over 40 years that I decided that I'm not going to be involved in any discussions of proving God's existence or to give lectures on that subject. I stopped it 40 years ago when it was very popular with all these seminars from Arachim and Discovery and Eshet Torah to go through proofs and codes and so on. A long time ago, I said, Zalobishvili. I'm happy with people that they do that. Well, Zalobishvili. That's not the world I want to live in. I don't want to be in that. I don't want to be I don't want to be in Rhode Island. I don't want to be in a small place. I can't stand those borders of that place, to prove that God exists. That's a small place to be in. So, midas, that it should make sense to your little pathetic brain. I have to put God into your brain. God is infinite, and I have to put him into your small brain that barely was able to figure out, you know, the regions in ninth grade. I got to put the Ribbono Shel Olam into that brain. So I'm going to waste my time standing in front of 100 Jews in a room trying to make proofs that to put into this guy's brain, this lady's brain, the infinite God, to put into that little brain. It's like they say, like I read once in the book, that there was a story that there was a skeptic, like whatever, and he was in Yerushalayim, and he saw a little Yerushalmi kid, you know, and he with the long pace and everything, a Yerushalmi kid, and this free thinker, this tourist asked the little Yerushalmi kid, why do you wear a yarmulke? So the little kid said, because Hashem is over me, is above me. So the free thinker said, oh, the sky is covering you, so why do you have to wear a yarmulke? So the little kid said to him, you have such a kleine kepel, you have such a small head, why do you need such a big yarmulke? That's what he said. Such a small head needs such a big kepel. So what do you have to spend your whole life trying to fit the infinite God into a kleine kepel, into a little brain? That's a world of midas. It's a world of measurements. It's a world of dimensions. It's a world that's with borders, that's finite, that's limited, and so on. I'm trying to tell that to people now, that they're afraid to walk outside because droplets might fall on their head from somewhere, from somebody across the street that sneezes, a droplet might cross the street and go onto your head. And then you're the next victim of a disease that seems to be becoming more and more mixed with fiction than facts. So a droplet might fall on your head. Somebody's going to blow the shofar 2 blocks away, and the shofar is Yitakev a shofar gadol. And the drop is going to go from the shofar. It's going to come all the way over to my house, and it's going to go through the chimney. It's going to come down the chimney, and it's going to go around to the basement. And this drop is going to go into my nose, and then I'm going to be on a respirator, chas v'shalom, from the guy, from the shofar blowing, from the shul. To live in such a place of... See, even to talk about it, you know, they might send someone to arrest me for talking about it. You know, I don't have to talk about things like this anymore. Making the whole world meshuggah. Wait till after this is all finished. Not right away, a year or two, the books that are going to be written about all the shkarim and all the crazy things and conspiracy theories and crazy and doctors that lost their minds and people, crazy things. And they're going to talk when they're going to talk about this, the pandemic of 2020. All the shtiyot that it makes. I'm not saying that there's nothing there. Not something. It's a sickness. But all the shtiyot that it makes in it, and then it plays upon all the hidden fears and anxieties of people who are never, ever really, from the beginning of their lives, they were never entirely stable. And all you do is to trigger something like make them scared, and you set them off with anything like a pandemic. They're finished. Gone. Gone. 170,000 people have died from the pandemic. This is, and you're the next victim. And to live in pachet, and to live in such a place, a tiny, pathetic vulum, and a vicious of people being locked indoors for month after month. So there's a lot of vicious that's mixed in with all of that, and ignorance that's mixed in with all of that. Anyway, you don't have to believe anything I said. We'll see, Mr. Hashem, what comes out from all of this. But that's the world of Gvulim. The Ari HaKadosh said, if you're not Botel to Hashem, then this book is not for you. That's basically what he was saying. Because you might be a very nice guy, and you might want to write a thesis or a PhD dissertation on the subject of Jewish mysticism, but it's not going to help you get up in the morning to go to shul. It's not going to help you. That's why Bechlal, the whole limud of Kabbalah, without learning a lot of chassidus and a lot of musar, is lotov. Lotov. It could become just another subject. Like you study geometry, you read Kabbalah books. It's lotov, not good. It's about me. Are you able to hear me? Yeah? Okay. Something went, I don't know. The bottom of page Reish Mem Zayin. Zui tachlis achayim shakula. This is the tachlis of our lives. Kulam yagiyu, meaning coming in touch with the infinite. That's the tachlis. I mean, that's all the Nevi'im described is going to be at the end of time. Humolos deis Hashem, kemayim leim achasim, v'eshbach yisruchi, everything, that's what's going to be. It's the tachlis of life, but we don't have to wait till the end of time. At the end of time, it's going to be, like he explains right now, it's going to be Baal Karchenu, it's going to be. Kulam yagir ala b'sayfa shodavar, in the end, we're all going to get there. We're all going to get past the borders. We're saying about Karcham, either with Beratzen, the Ratzon or Baal Karcha, or even not going along so happily and cheerfully. Page Resh Memches. So when Rav Schwartz gave the shiur, it was Parshas Bo. Aparo nigzamirash shesman musuim bnei Yisrael yistabdu tachtav. There was a gezeira that for a certain amount of years, the Jews were going to be enslaved to Paro. Bzman musuim yaitzim yisham. And at a certain time, the Jews are going to leave. Arba me'eshana yubim mitzrayim lach mekein yaitzim b'chushgadol. They're going to be for 400 years. And then they're going to go out b'chushgadol. So what was Paro's bechir? What was his choice? What freedom of choice did he have? Did he have a bechir to send them out by his own will? To say, okay, guys, you can go before the 10 makas. Or the other choice was, against his will, but after the Ten Makis, and the whole country is already a mess, it's a wreck. Those were the choices. Was there any choice that the Jews should remain in Egypt? No. In other words, these are your choices. A, B. A, you could do this in a nice way, in a friendly way. You could save your country and a lot of aggravation, a lot of death and misery. Just send the Jews out, let them go. That was A. B, 10 makas, you're going to get seklapt, and you're going to get beaten, and there's going to be a lot of misery, and then they're going to go out anyway. But there's no choice of them not going out. That's not a choice. It wasn't one of the choices. So we always think of that, like with Pyro. So, wow, that's pretty strong. Wow. But Lamaise is the same with everything. Kol adam yigil ois ha-metzias, sh'ayra shal bari olam yizgala b'kirba v'yishkan v'saycha. You and I are Jews. Each and every one of us is going to eventually reach a point, every one of us, where the Shechina is going to be revealed within us. That's the end. That's the ultimate. That's what's going to happen. Every single one of us in the end is going to be in that place of Kudshuch Bichu Yisrael V'arayis Echad. Every one of us is going to be in the reality of Hashem HaKenu Hashem Echad. It's going to be revealed within us. Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim. Zeh HaGilui SheYelo Asad Lavai. That Gilui, that revelation in such a broad way, in such a complete way, is going to be in the future. When Mashiach comes, then the full picture is going to be revealed. So Mahi Abachir Shalom. So the question is right now, Mashiach didn't come yet today. So what are my choices now? So you and I feel like, oh, I got a lot of choices. I could daven mincha later. Or I don't daven mincha. No. I could learn some Torah today, or I don't learn Torah. I could yell at my wife, or I don't have to yell at my wife. There's a lot of choices. And all this stuff, there are a million choices. So Mayab Khir Shalom. So we feel, like Paro felt, that he has a lot of choices. Paro was a king. King's got a lot of choices. So we feel also like, you know, we have a lot of choices. So the truth is, Rav Schwartz explains, that we really all like Paro. Zochu achishana. If we're zoche, if we'd be good boys and girls, whatever that means, then it could have like a, it could happen quickly, all the good stuff. Sheikh, chias ameisim, nobody's sick, everybody has what they need, all the good stuff. If we let the Jew inside of us go, if we free the Jew inside of us, then willingly and peacefully, It could be a very, very beautiful ending. Now, Loi Zochu, then it could be Chas V'Shalom, also Paro, wasn't Zoicha. So then what? He was fighting and kicking and screaming, and then there were 10 Marcus and all kinds of crazy stuff until in the end it came out the way that God wanted anyway. That means God forbid a person has to go through whatever the Marcus are of this world. And the Jewish people have to go through Chas V'Chalila, more Marcus, which is already way past 10 Marcus. Which the 10, of course, correspond to the 10 spheres, the roots of a person. Until every single part of the person, all the 10 parts of the person finally surrender and say, okay, Hashem Elokim, God, I'm bottled to you, you win. So they're basically the same like with Paro. There's either you join the program and you mevati yourself willingly to Hashem, and then all kinds of amazing things happen. Or you continue to think that you're the king and that the choice is yours. And then there are makis, lo aleinu, and until you are forced to surrender and to give up the fight and to say, Hashem Elokim. Those are basically the two choices. The fact that we feel that we have a million choices, so did Paro. He felt that he had a million choices. But there are really only two. Zochu, loy zochu. In a nice way, or a 10 Marcus. And that's really what it is. Marcus don't have to be frogs and dark and stuff, but whatever it is, Nisyonis, difficulties, until a person comes to a place of Bittul. Until the Jewish people come to a place of Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim. In the end, it comes out the way that God wants. Im Adam Zeicha, Mezakech Es Atzmai. If a person is Zeicha, he's Mezakech himself. So he chooses to have Hashem's light revealed within him, like the big tzaddik. They work on that and they refine themselves and they come to a place of bittul, and then they even though Mashiach hasn't yet come, those big tzaddikim are in a place of mamash of gula. In the end, everybody's going to come along for the trip. The Rishayim also are going to be in that place of Hashem Elokim. But they're going to have to be forced to surrender and to let go of their, of themselves, of their whole, that whole Indian of being the king. In the end, they'll also be. Gam l'shem esav yoyis agilui, aval eich, but how will it be? Nishmosam kalav em nasam, ofer tachas kapos raglet tzedikim. So one of the descriptions that Chazal have is that the neshamas are sort of, consumed or whatever, destroyed, and they become like afer, like ashes beneath the feet of the tzaddikim. That means a very deep thing. But of course, every Jew in the end is going to have a tikkun. But you have to go through ashes, difficulties, and sorrows to let go of the delusion of royalty that we have. Whatever that means, not going into it right now. Efer mitachas kapas tzadikim. And there are other descriptions that in Chazal that are very graphic, and they're not talking about physical things. There's no physical fires and hell or anything like that, but whatever, or the feet of tzadikim and ashes. It means that you have to be brought to a place of bittul. Like, what does it mean? Something is burnt. It means it's bittul. A fire. So I'm talking about, not talking about a physical fire, I'm talking about physical ashes. We're talking about bittul. Bittul. V'nafshi ka'ofer l'kol tia. V'anoichi ofer ve'efer. That's what Avraham Avinu said. V'anoichi ofer ve'efer. That's the inyan of a tzaddik. Listen to this, Chevra. This is like a big, it's a big klal. I mean, this whole thing that we're learning now is a very, very big klal. It cannot be. It is impossible that a human being should mess up the purpose of his existence. Meaning, even if we mess up, at the end, each one of us is going to have to come to that reason why we were created. It's just whether you do it with the Makis or without the Makis. Those are the two programs. With Makis or without Makis. But everybody has to get to the, everybody has to get, in the end, has to be brought there. The reality that Hashem had in mind when he created me and you will be revealed. Zoch or lezoch. There are different ways. HaKadosh Baruch Hu baris kulanu lo yoytze min haklal kedei shenegilav. Hashem created each one of us with the tachlis that we should be dovuk to him, we should be bound to him, that we should bask in his light, in his radiance. That's how we were created. There are no exceptions among the Jewish people. There are no exceptions. Hashayla hirak eich. The only question is how. Beis aderech. Is it by your own choice to refine yourself and to be bottled to Hashem? In which case, even in this world, you can live a life of unbelievable simcha and unbelievable kaiches beyond anything that's finite, mamish, like the big tzaddikim. Or a person makes the wrong choice, like Paramate, and he has to go through 10 makas after this world, during his life, after his life. Shasuge miruk, and other ways of purification until he surrenders. Misham yagil, oisin akudas gil, but he has to come to the same place, the same truth. Everyone has to come to that truth of Hashem alakim. Zu b'chira seinu, when the kavash galachad yivcha b'toiv. Those are really the choices that we have. And he says, you know, halavai that everybody should make the right choice. Havel ein sheila haim efshe. Kulam yigil lezeh leitzim na klal. Hashayli yirak eichu masa. Everybody's going to get to that Hashem lukim. The only question is how and when. How and when. Zo. How and when. Ha'odim yitever b'yoso toifes zatzma kimitzis nefredes. The nature of a human being, because of Hashem's, because of the tzimtzum of Hashem's light, and this unbelievable hester that we're living in, it's the nature of a human being to see himself, to make that choice, it's like Paro. Ani emloich, I'm king. I could choose whatever I want. I could change, you know, what's going to be. I'm in Tzivus Nefredis. Tinok v'shosh shu noilod. When a baby is born, he has a yichud with his mother. He's one with his mother. Like the baby that's being nursed, whatever the mother's drinking, the baby is drinking. A baby doesn't have any das to be mevatel himself to Hashem, just to his mother. But as he grows older and older, he matures. So each person according to where he reaches in his maturity, until he's mature enough to realize that he's the megalo, the mitzias of Hashem, that his job in this world is to become bottle, not to his mother. I know guys like that too, but to be bottle to Hashem. Hachu Megil Hakarishal of Legalus as Mitzias Hashem Besaychai. It is Megala, the Mitzias of Hashem within him. Vozu Yigalus Amemet Shalha Ein Mida Shinimitsa Besaychai. And then it's possible for a person to be Megala, that dimension of Ein Mida, limitlessness, infinity. to break all limitations and boundaries once he comes to that place that's called Ein Mida. Shenimtza b'seichai. Which at this point in this person's life is revealed within himself. It's there, but he was able to rip away, to tear away all of the blockages and to come to that metzias of v'shachanti b'seichai. That place of v'shachanti b'seichai. In the end, that's the metzias. That's the metzias of a Jew, and in the end, every single one of us is going to be in that place. But as he says over and over again, the question is only when, how will that happen? When will that happen, and how will that happen? That's individually and also nationally, as a people. How and when, and that's really what the Gemara is talking about: zochu lo zochu, to be zoche and not to be zoche. But in the end. In the end, it has to be such a thing. That of Yakir ben Echa. The whole end, all of the Aleinu, the end of Aleinu, if you just chas it over, it's just, we're asking that it should be Meher, we're asking it should be quickly, that that truth should be revealed. That's what we're davening for all the time. But the truth will be revealed. It's just, we're asking, Higola, no, Hareinu. We're asking for it to be revealed. And that's why there are tzaddikim that said, listen, I could try to force that it should be revealed now. But if I do that, then it's going to bring unbelievable tzaras. If it's before you're ready for it. Because then when you're not ready for it, then it's a makkah. And then it's the 10, 20, 30, 50 makkahs. Then it's makkas if you're not ready for it. And the way to prepare is through bittul, through the midah of bittul. Because that's the midah of ein midah. And then ein midah, a person is then ready for the infinite love of Hashem, for the infinite light of Hashem. But as long as somebody is being contained within the boundaries of ego and independent self, so the only thing that could do is that he gets beaten enough that until he surrenders. And that way of getting beaten doesn't have to always be painful with, you know, sorrows. There are other ways of, that a person, but I'm not going into that now. But it takes time. It takes time. V'ozu yigalas tamemet shel ha'ein midash nimsa b'saycha, which is the tachlis of our lives. To come to that reality of Ein Mida that's within us. Ein Mida. And when a person is in that place of Bittul and Ein Mida, so then he doesn't, it's not the rest of his life that he's talking about, like every year comes to Elul, how am I going to, my temper is still such a horrible temper. How am I going to overcome that? So he buys the latest book on controlling anger. Or my Lashon Hara buys the latest adaptation of the Chavetz Chaim, or I'm the biggest Baltaiva, so he buys a better filter for his computer. All that stuff is in the world of Midas. I'm not saying that it doesn't have to get all that's in the world of Midas. That's why people year after year comes to an Elul, comes to Rosh Hashanah, and year after year they have a sincere, genuine desire to become better, and then again, nothing. A very little change. Because it's all an avoida within Midas. And within Midas, there are tremendous, tremendous limitations. You know? So, this guy could say, I'm never going to look at anything bad the rest of my life, but then he never saw a girl as pretty as that. And that girl is something that caused him to break out of his Midas. Or he got a job in another office, and in the new office, there's a girl that he never saw, such a pretty girl who is so interested in him coming over and flirting with him. And then that's it for, boom, another crash. But he was working on this taiva, the whole Rosh Hashem Kippur, Shana Rabbah, he's crying and begging Hashem that he should be able to overcome this taiva. And it's very, very beautiful. But the truth is, and he can try to keep it for a while until that next girl comes along, because he's still in the world of Midas. I'm not sure that You following what I'm saying? He's still in that place of boundaries of midas. So it comes along a prettier girl than the last one. So now he went through a hard week in the pandemic, so he's very weak, so he gave in to the tithe. So he's been keeping a diet, but now he never saw such a beautiful spare rib, so now he gave in to the spare rib. Or the layer cake, whatever it is. Or he had it. But it's all this business with midas in the world of limitations. So something comes around. It's a little bit bigger than where you're holding right now. So you lose. But if you're Bittel Takanish Baruch, even in the world of Bittel, then there's no losing anymore. There's no losing. You're not. Then you're holding on to not your mother. You're holding on to Hashem's Baruch. And you don't lose. Now that you don't lose, the whole thing is Stam Narishke. The girl comes along in the office. The Bechlal doesn't interest you. It's Narishke. Shtiyot. It's not like you have to struggle with it, fight with it. Struggling, fighting, all that's in the world of Midas. In the world of Ein Mida, there's Shum Davar. Mazach Patli, Zalosh Shali, Zalosh Patli. I'm Shaychis to it. Rabbi Yochanan said that the women coming after the mikveh, they look them like white geese. So everybody makes fun of that. What he's saying is, Zelo Shayachli, Zelo Chpatli. What do I have for this in you? That doesn't mean he wasn't a normal person. When with his wife, he was a regular, like he was able to live with his wife and to have a family. That's not that he wasn't a normal person. Because that's a mitzvah. That's the Ratzon Hashem. He's Bottle Tashem's Ratzon. This is an aveira. The girl outside the mikveh is an aveira. It's Bottle Tashem. It's not his inyan. In Bittel, and also that in that world of Bittel, that a person's simcha, being happy, doesn't depend upon the weather, on how much money you have, whether you have a good job, whether you like your wife, whether your kids are successful. Being a simcha doesn't depend upon any of those other things. All of those things that you depend upon are from the world of midas. Those are from that reality that's separate and that's finite. When a person's botel Hashem, he's besimcha all the time. Because it's not with any limitations. It's infinite. It's infinite. It doesn't have any limitations. My simcha doesn't depend upon it being a good day. My simcha doesn't depend upon who wins the pennant. My simcha doesn't depend upon me getting a compliment. My simcha doesn't depend upon me having a good job. My simcha doesn't depend upon me being, you know, getting shishi on Rosh Hashanah or something. My simcha doesn't depend on that. Altogether, shtiyot. It's all that shtiyot. That's what we're talking about. It's a different world. It's a different world, but a world that you and I, Mitzvah, can work on connecting to, at least on some level. On some level, on some adrega. So Bezer Hashem will continue. We'll continue next week. If I don't see you, wish each and every one of you should have a lechtig in Shabbos. Lechtig in Shabbos. Kol tov.